Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Hey, welcome back. This is the second part of our podcast on how to call a pastor. I'm Trent. I'm here with my good friend, Alan, and this is the Enduring Churches podcast. And we want your church to endure and to do well. We also want your pastor and family to endure and do well. And so we're talking about how do you call a pastor to your church? Hopefully you got to hear our first podcast on the first half of this. We're going to carry on, Alan.
Well, we were talking where we left off. We were talking about how important it is before you ever receive a resume or before you ever talk specifics about a person to make sure that all the expectations and are very, very clear and that you know the process that you're going to be going through to call a pastor.
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier to do that ahead of time than after you've got a pastor there. And then, you know, he feels like you're doing the bait and switch because you're changing up the expectations, right?
And, you know, we left it with talking about having clear expectations, because what can happen on a search team is that with so many differing opinions, you can be looking for someone who can in no way do all that you want. And so once those expectations are defined and you know exactly what you're looking for, then you're able to start receiving candidates with an open mind and a clear understanding of, hey, these are some things we're looking for.
Right. It'll help you to sort out, because hopefully you'll receive, you know, more than one or two resumes or recordings or whatever, and you'll be able to sort out based on what you've decided as a search team and as an entire church.
I know that in 2007, our church, when they called me, we were running about 65. In a worship, they received over 150 resumes at that time to come to Colorado and be the pastor of the church here.
Of course, that's Colorado. You know, I understand. I lived there too, and you know, there's this draw to Colorado. And so it depends on where you're at, right? Though you may be in a farming community in Oklahoma, and you may or may not get that many resumes. But either way, you want to be able to know your expectations so that you can sort out those resumes.
And then you should have a process. And again, that could be outlined. It could be the process that your team develops. But you should have a process that if a candidate were to ask you, what is your process going to look like, that you could give them a very clear outline of this is the process that we're going through to call a pastor. And having a good process is very important.
Yeah. And so as you start off this process, I think it's really important that a potential pastor submits a resume, that they get a response of some sort, whether it's a letter or an email or a call, letting them know that you have received their resume and letting them know the time frame or what's going to happen from here.
And that is important. That's just being polite. Someone has taken the time to say that they have an interest in your church. They deserve some kind of response to that, that at least thanks them for their willingness to do that. And I know that's a little bit different. I know some people on search teams are still in that mentality of, why are people submitting their own resumes? Because, you know, when we were first starting out, Trent, you always had someone else submit a resume on your behalf. And that's just really not the way things operate anymore.
True. Yeah. And things have changed dramatically in that area in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, haven't they?
Tremendously. And so be kind enough to respond to someone who has reached out to you. And you're going to have probably a great number of them. Just as you're reading through the resume, there's going to be something that you're all in agreement on. This just isn't the right person, the right fit. So be clear and gracious to those that you're not interested in.
Being gracious, I know that this kind of leads to our next point, is that if you know that they're not going to be a fit for your church, then don't make them jump through all the hoops of, I know some search committees send out them, you know, a huge questionnaire or lots of things for people to do, and don't have them waste their time if you know that they're not going to be your guy.
Right. Go ahead and make that. You think you're doing them a favor of giving them the experience of doing it. You're not. They get all excited thinking, oh, this church wants more information from me. Maybe this is where God is leading us. And you're sitting in the back of your chair going, well, you know, we'll get this, but we're not going to pay much attention to it. That's very disingenuous. So please don't ask for additional information from those that you've are able to eliminate quickly.
Right. Yeah. Don't break their hearts. You know, like we said earlier, be clear about the, you know, the process as you talk with somebody and give them response so that they know where you're at.
So Trent, in your mind, how many candidates would you ever ask for information for if you were on a search team and you were the lead person on this search team? How many people would you want to gather extra information from?
I'm a big believer, and I've been on several search committees for associations and organizations, and I would say you need to have gone through the process of sorting to where you get to, maybe one or two. Don't do the whole dog and pony show thing. And so what do you think, Alan? What do you think is the appropriate number on that?
Well, you know, I'm torn because I've seen some churches that have some neat processes to try to figure out how they're going to narrow it down. But I also know that they say this is part of the process. And so they may take their top 10 and send them out, hey, a little questionnaire that actually asks for leadership responses back. And then they'll go through those and say, hey, after reading this, we have narrowed this down to who we want to consider. Thank you for your time. And so they may ask for a little bit more information from a handful more than that. But it's with a clear process that this is how we are defining our the ones we want to center in on. And so I think that's really important to just know that process.
Right. Okay. So if after you get those responses in, say from your top few, then how many do you think that a church should take through the process of an interview?
Well, I'm kind of in that thing. You never interview more than three. But if you gave me my druthers, I would go interview the person I wanted the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I think it works best.
Come to an agreement as a team who you want to interview first, and don't interview anybody else until you've gone through that process with that one person. And then that may say, okay, yeah, this is the guy we want to keep moving forward, or no, this is not the right person. We can eliminate them now.
If you interview, if you have two or three candidates that you've kind of narrowed things down to, and you interview one, and the interview just doesn't go well, there's nothing to keep you from going back to that candidate and saying, we've decided to move on with another candidate and to interview one of those others. But be careful in that process, you know, that you can't draw it out too long. Again, you start to create problems. If you don't have a good process for doing that, and you don't have a good communication system for what you're doing, because the other thing you don't want is you don't want to go, oh, well, they've already had two people turn them down after an interview, and I was third. I'm not sure I want them anymore.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you have to kind of, you need to be wise in your timing on all of that, and then your communication on all of that.
Yeah, things that you do and do not share. And there's an appropriate time to share with your church family, too. It may not be the entire process, but you're right. Be careful.
And your church should know the process that you're going through as well. You know, I've seen churches add in candidates at the last moment. They've interviewed someone, and then someone will say, hey, why don't you interview this other person too? You know, and then they'll pause everything because someone has brought another name to them. I wouldn't interrupt the process for another candidate like that. I think that's not good. It's not wise. It's kind of circumventing what you've already created, you know, as your process. And so, you know, I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, and we had mentioned in our last episode the role that, that prayer takes in this. And so if you pause everything, that kind of saying, oh, well, we missed God or God didn't talk to us in the first part of this. And I don't think that's right. Make sure you're praying about that.
I've got another question for you, Trent, about all this process. When would you listen to them preach?
Ooh, yeah. Well, you've got a search team. You've got it narrowed down. Maybe you've had a phone interview with them, with this person. It's like, okay, now we're going to go and we're going to go see them at their church. I think that I would have them send recordings to the search committee to listen to before I would go see them, because I've seen this happen where all of a sudden this group of people shows up at a church and they sit in the back. They always sit in the back. They're all from the same town. And so everybody starts thinking, well, hey, our pastor's leaving. And, you know, or the search committee people say, well, we're here to listen to your pastor. And man, talk about ruining their ministry there. That's hard on. So I guess I'd be really careful about that too.
You know, I love what you said, though. You said that after we've narrowed this down, and one of the big mistakes I see in search teams is when they ask for resumes, they usually ask for sermons. And so then they start collecting resumes and listening to sermons. You know, there are a lot of people who can put together one good sermon, and you're going to hear their best sermon. They're going to have done a lot to put that together. And you're hiring the person more than the preacher. Preachers get better over time as preachers. So if you get the right leader, he's going to grow as a preacher if he's not a great preacher. But if you get a great preacher and he's not a good leader, you've created a problem for yourself. And so, you know, one of the things that you and I, as we were preparing this, wanted to encourage churches to do, let listening to their preaching be at the end of the process, not at the beginning of the process.
Well, yeah, just like you said, Alan, everybody can come up with a good sermon. It's called your sugar stick. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to record that one and I'll send it, you know. But if you, like you said, if you wait to the end of the process, recognizing that, okay, this person has good character values, good leadership traits, and they're going to become a better, more applicable preacher to your setting the longer they're at your setting. And so, yeah, don't let your one sermon be the thing that draws you to someone.
I've just seen that mistake. That's probably the number one mistake I see with search teams, is they put the sermon and the preaching in the front and center, and everything else takes a bad seat. And the worst hire you can ever make is the wrong hire.
Yeah, you can literally kill a church. And I know that sounds like a lot of pressure on a search committee, but I guess we want you to take it. Hey, this is important. Take this responsibility as important. And so, you know, we've been talking about this process. And so you've doing some phone interviews, you're meeting with this person. We want you to be completely transparent about your church. It's tempting to hide the negative stuff, right?
Well, you know, one of the things, probably one of the questions you're going to ask in the interview, hey, pastor, what are some of the weaknesses that you have? Right. You want to know where they're weak and you're looking. I know when I was in the secular world and hiring a lot of people, if they couldn't give me some of their weaknesses, I didn't hire them. I wanted self-aware people. Well, you need to be a self-aware church. If you're going to ask them their weaknesses, which is fair, you need to be able to give them yours.
I would encourage pastors, potential pastors, you need to ask as many questions like that as the church asks you. So, yeah, you're right, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, what are the issues in the church? You know, has there been a split? Is there some kind of division going on? Has there been, you know, a situation that has caused legal ramifications the church?
One of the things I was going to point out along here is that we got to do several years ago, go and visit with a church that had lost their pastor. And this was before they started really looking. And we took them through a weekend of just asking them questions about their past and, you know, dealing with some of the issues that they've had, some, you know, hurt feelings or whatever. so that they were prepared for what you just said to be able to share those things with a potential pastor.
And I think that vulnerability creates a sense of openness for both the pastor and that search team that hopefully reflects in the entire church.
Hopefully, you know, this going through this process as we've been kind of talking through it, and I know there's probably more and other questions you might have, and we want to encourage you, as always, to go to enduringchurches.com or our Facebook page and jot us a note so that we can answer some of those questions for you. But hopefully, okay, you go through the process and you call a pastor and his family to be a part of your family, your church family. What happens then?
You know, usually the search team just goes away. Do you recommend that, Trent?
I don't. That sounds weird. It's like, but I think you should keep your search committee as a committee for the first year, because they're the ones that the pastor has gotten to know through the process and is a little closer to and knows they can ask them questions. And so if you keep your committee kind of together and they get to be the sounding board for the pastor, if he's got questions or concerns, that that pastor can go to that committee, you know, maybe get together once a month and have dinner for the first year and just say, hey, how are you doing? How's your family doing? Are they getting adjusted? Or if the church has some concerns, they know who to go to as well. Because, well, you know, Alan, that people will talk to the deacons and other people before they'll talk to you sometimes about issues that they have.
Always. Always. So we've given you some of these thoughts that, you know, talk about the characteristics, know how you're going to put together your team and get your characteristics put together, set clear expectations, communicate clearly, be transparent, let your search team in a way serve as kind of a transitional body for that new pastor. But one of the things that, Trent, we know that a lot of churches struggle with is, well, you know, we've got this group of people and everyone's brand new. No one's ever called a pastor before. Mm-hmm. And we're scared, or we don't even know where to turn to. And so we just want you to know that, you know, one of the things that we can do is a general church consultation. But one of the other things that we would love to make ourselves available for you and your church is to be able to just come alongside your church as some consultants for your search team, just to help your search team set its priorities and kind of set itself in the right direction. And so if your church is coming up on that situation, or if you're a pastor and you're going to be leaving a church and you know that, and, you know, help them out, you can let them know that we are available and able to come alongside them and help them do it. We have a couple different ways we can do that. We can come and be there in person, or we could even set up via conference call just to sit down and talk with your search team so that they can hopefully through prayer help get the right pastor in your church.
That's right. We want to be servants to our fellow churches and fellow believers. And so please allow us to do that. And we want to encourage you all.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on the Enduring Churches podcast. Trent, this was our first two-parter. How do you feel?
And I'm feeling pretty good. I enjoyed this discussion, and I've had a good time. Hopefully everybody listening has gotten at least one thing that they can, like, oh, I'm going to remember that.
I certainly hope so. And I hope you'll be back to join us next time for our next episode in the Enduring Churches podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com. so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.